glad to have Senator Simon Safetzik with us. He's a senator from the 42nd Legislative District, and at 22 years old, the youngest state senator in Washington, he was recently appointed, taking the seat of his predecessor, Senator Doug Erickson, who unfortunately passed away back in December. Senator Safetzik, so great to have you on the program. Thanks for joining us.
Well, hi, Tim. Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. And I tell you, what an exciting appointment it is for you and becoming the youngest state senator in Washington. How does that feel?
You know, it feels really, really exciting. On the one hand, obviously, I'm here due to unfortunate circumstances, but I'm also excited about the potential that I think I can bring to the table in Olympia, which is a fresh, young, energetic, and new perspective for our legislatures and for different policy measures that we're analyzing all across Washington State right now.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, tell us how this played out, because, I mean, is this something that was kind of on your radar, or did it just, you know, happenstance, or how did this play out?
You know, it was something that I thought maybe I would end up doing 30 or 40 years down the road, but certainly not when I was 22 years old. But it came about, obviously, after the passing of Senator Doug Erickson. And one of the things that I told the Whatcom County Council, who was the one that appointed me, is that, you know, ever since I was a kid, I've talked to people about politics at some different level. And what people have always told me is we need young people to get involved. You know, it's going to be my generation that's the voice of the future. It's my generation that's going to be the largest taxpaying base, the largest voting base. And the decisions being made right now, whether it's in Olympia or whether it's in Washington, D.C., are going to affect my generation in untold and in tremendous ways. And so my thought is, well, we should have a foot at the table when we're here and when we're making these sorts of decisions right now today.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I applaud you for stepping up and taking on that mantle of leadership. That's absolutely fantastic. Great example for others in your generation, without a doubt. Are you a Whatcom County guy? Did you grow up there?
Yes. You know, I grew up in Ferndale, Washington, a part of Whatcom County. I grew up on sort of a farm. We raised horses, goats, chickens, and mowed a lot of lawns. So I grew up in Ferndale, went over to the East Coast for college, worked on the East Coast on the executive in the executive branch, and I interned on Capitol Hill, and, you know, have been in Whatcom County, and, you know, just really felt sort of a calling to get involved at the local politics level.
Yeah, that's great. I love Whatcom County. I'm born, you know, born and raised here in Seattle, but have a lot of love up there. My mother and father-in-law own and run Bellwood Acres, if you're familiar with that. It's a orchard on the guide Meridian there. And my my wife's uncle is the founder and owner of the Woods Coffee, which I'm sure you're familiar with, Wes Herman and the Woods Coffee.
Yep.
And so we
I
have
met Wes when I was 12 or 13 years old at a debate tournament. He judged me in a competitive speech and debate tournament that I was at in Bellingham.
Oh my goodness!
He probably doesn't remember me, but I definitely remember him.
What did he score you? What kind of score did he give you?
He voted for me. It was a debate I still remember on the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, sort of a nuanced topic, but I was a 12-year-old who was presenting my thoughts on a fairly nuanced area of international policy, and I remember that I got his vote, so I was very proud of that as a kid, and maybe I still am.
That is fantastic. No, I love that. I mean, those are things that form us and allow us to be who we are. That's fantastic. I love that. Now, you've got a new bill here, 5897, and this is... Let's talk about this. This is exciting. It would suspend the state gas tax through 2022. Talk about the genesis of this bill.
Sure. So as you know, we in Olympia have a projected surplus of more than even some people are saying $10 billion potentially. And there's this chronic belief in Olympia that every single dollar, every single cent of a surplus always has to be spent on some new project, some new study, some new program. And I actually happen to believe that we should return some of the money back to the people who put the money there in the first place. And this is an effective way of doing that. What the bill does is it transfers more than $1.2 billion of funds from the general fund to the transportation fund, which would immediately cut the price of gas for everybody by nearly 50 cents. Which would be direct cost savings for every family in Washington state. And at a time when we have record high inflation, when we're in a pandemic, and when people are really struggling right now, I think one of the best things we could do is actually return some money to the taxpayers. And that's an effective way to do that.
Well, I tell you, I'm behind that. And whatever whatever we can do here in the program to get the word and help write to other legislators, and this, that would be an absolute significant boon for so many folks here in the state of Washington. So I hope that gains some momentum.
Well, I hope so, too. And, you know, it just goes back to the idea that just because there's a surplus does not always mean that the state of our economy is strong. It's this belief that just because we're taking more and more money from taxpayers and it's going to Olympia, that is not the sign necessarily of economic growth. And if you talk to people on the streets right now, if you talk to people living in their homes, they're going to tell you that it's harder and harder right now to buy a home in Washington State. It's harder and harder to get a job here that pays well. And so when people are struggling, what we don't need is to continually expand the size and scope of government to an unsustainable and unreasonable level. But that's what we keep hearing out of Olympia. And, you know, Tim, I'll tell you, I haven't been in Olympia for that long, but I have been here long enough to know that we have to change the way we legislate here in Olympia. Otherwise, Washington State is going to continue to spiral down the road.
Yeah. Let's talk a little bit. I talked at the top of the program here about the new kind of restrictive limits on Governor Inslee's emergency powers. And this is, you know, significant. I was telling Pedro, our producer, one of my favorite Twitter accounts. The only thing that this Twitter account does is it gives a daily record of how many days it's been of under Governor Inslee's emergency powers. So, you know,
so that's clever.
Day 69. Governor Inslee has had emergency powers, right? Day 695, you know, I think, what are we on now? Day 705 or something like that, right? And, you know, this is, in my opinion, should have been done a year ago. I don't know why the legislature is taking so long to rein this in here. I mean, clearly we're on a path that is not sustainable. Can you give us your perspective on this?
Yeah, well, I think you're completely right that this is something that should have happened a long, long time ago. And I think that even some of my colleagues on the other side of the aisle are starting to understand the implications of a executive in Washington that doesn't really have any limits, apparently. And I think they're starting to realize that there needs to be some limits. You know, there's been a bill proposed actually by a Democratic colleague of mine, and while I don't think it goes far enough, the point, I think, is to show that hopefully both sides are waking up to the fact that regardless of whether it's a Republican or a Democrat who's the governor, the bottom line is that the governor is not supposed to act like a king or an emperor. The governor has to be limited by a healthy legislature, and that's our job. Our job is to keep the branches accountable to each other, to act as a check on executive power, just as the executive acts as a check on the legislative power. And when those two things are out of balance, you end in exactly the sorts of unfortunate policies that we've seen coming out of the governor's office recently.
I mean, I tell you, as a lifelong, you know, Washingtonian, I've never been more frustrated of living here in my whole life. I mean, I look at other states, and I mean, I've even California, which I've been down there a number of times over the last year or two, and man, that does not feel as oppressive at all. Now, granted, the sun helps, but as it does here, in terms of our response, and I don't, it's almost like we're patting ourselves on the back of like, however, you know, can we we're the state that's the most oppressive when it comes to our COVID response. And I know we had Secretary Shaw on the program here last week. And if that was any indication, my interview with him, who is a nice guy, by the way, we're not, there's not going to be any changes anytime soon. I mean, my goodness, I asked him if it was, if he thought it was, he said his 13 and 10 year old kids wear K95 masks in school all day, 8 hours. And I asked him if he thought that was healthy, and he said yes. I was like, okay, we're kind of coming from two different perspectives here. I mean, my goodness gracious. I mean, when do we, and particularly, you know, you and other legislators say, my goodness, when are we going to follow suit with other states? You know, Colorado, the Colorado governor said, you know, a month or two ago, hey, you know what? It's, we're moving on here. I mean, people have made their choice what they're going to do. We've got to get back. But according to Secretary Shaw, we might be masking our kids in school for the next 7 years.
Yeah, I mean, you saw over in the United Kingdom, Prime Minister Boris Johnson has started to massively, pretty much entirely scale back on even their regulations. I mean, you know, when the Europeans are less restrictive than we are here in Washington, that's maybe a sign that we need to wake up a little bit. And, I mean, yeah, think about what we're saying. We're saying if California is a better role model than we are on some of these policies, that's a pretty unfortunate state to be in. And so we have to bring a change in leadership in Olympia. The failure we have here in Washington, it's not a failure of resources. It's not a crisis of opportunity. We have so much potential in this state. What we have is a failure and a crisis of leadership, because we could do so much with such a wonderful state, and we can, and I believe that we will, but what we have to do is actually roll up our sleeves and do the hard work to bring about that change and to work hard for the people of Washington State.
We're talking to Senator Simon Sefcik. He is the senator from the 42nd Legislative District, representing the people of Whatcom County. And I tell you, this past, you know, month or two, Senator, I mean, we've seen in Whatcom County some just unprecedented flooding. I was up there for part of that. Unbelievable to see. I mean, just the amount of, you know, rain that was coming down. Of course, you had the snow melt off and all that. How are things going up there right now? And I know you've got some new legislation to help with that.
Well, yeah, Tim, like you mentioned, the people of Whatcom County are really hurting right now, especially those that were directly impacted by the recent flooding coming out of the Nooksack. It's heartbreaking. I've met with people that have lost their homes, lost their livelihoods, or lost their family farms. And, you know, there are people right now that are still living in a motel because of what happened in November. There are people right now, you know, I heard about a couple that is having to boil their water from their neighbor in order, and then, you know, using that to take a shower, basically, to bathe themselves. It's very, very sad. And when you meet with people, you can see that the pain on their face as they wonder why this happened and what we can do to help them. And so I've actually worked with my Democratic colleague, Representative Alicia Rule, on a bill that would provide grant programs to agricultural producers that have been harmed by the floods. And I've also proposed a bill that would provide more than $80 million in financial relief to those that were directly impacted for rebuilding their homes, rebuilding their business, rebuilding their farms. And, you know, that's what we need. But we also have to look not just at ways to help those that have been impacted by the flood through relief programs. We also have to think about the big picture, right? And we have to think about how to make sure that this never happens again so that people don't have their lives upended by these sort of events.
Yeah. Wow. Absolutely incredible to see what was going on up there. Senator, tell us about some of the next steps. I know you were appointed here. How does it work in terms of when is the seat up? Do you have to run again? Can you help explain what the process is now with that?
Sure. So the way it works is I was appointed earlier, actually, after the session had started in January, but the seat there will have to, whoever fills the seat, you know, I was appointed, so I'll serve there until January, but whoever is going to represent Whatcom County for the next 4 years will have to run for election this November. And so that's kind of the process. I'm here for at least a year, and if I were to run and to win, then I would be the senator for the next 4 years as well in Whatcom.
Got it. And are you planning on running?
You know, that is the intention. It's obviously, you know, it's so action-packed here in Olympia that my job every day is to right now do the best that I can possibly do with the resources I have to serve the people of Whatcom County. So my number one priority right now in terms of what I'm thinking about is just making sure that we're passing good laws and fighting the bad ones and doing everything I can to represent my county well.
Absolutely. Well, I'll tell you what, Senator, if you can help our state move towards some level of sanity with the COVID restrictions and masks in school, man, you got my support all day long.
Well, absolutely. And we need to scale back those regulations. I mean, I spent most of today in meetings with all sorts of different stakeholders, and even regardless of their opinions on some of the COVID restrictions, what nobody, I think, can deny is that there is so much that we lost because of the past few years regarding COVID. I mean, there are people that are depressed, people that are isolated, people that are behind in school, and, you know, we have a workforce crisis as well, and people are moving out of the state, going to states with less regulation, states with less or no mandates even when it comes to maybe vaccines or whatever it is. And so we have to get back in control with the way we effectively lead people in this state, because what we have right now is not working. And, you know, that's just the misconception that people have. We have to remember that our rights do not come from any man or any machine. They don't come from a governor. They don't come from a king. They come from God, and they come from our Constitution. They are enumerated. They are inalienable. They are written for us and for our protection, and we need to remember those rights, and we need to be willing to fight for them and to defend them, because if we lose those, if we lose our constitutional principles and values, then we are lost as a nation.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. What are the areas that your legislative district, is it all of Whatcom County? Is it just part of Whatcom County?
So it's most of Whatcom County. It's shared by the 40th district, which is south of me, parts of Bellingham. So I don't have all of Bellingham, for example. Parts of South Bellingham belong to the 40th district. But for the most part, the only county that is mine is Whatcom County. So even though I don't technically represent all of Whatcom County, I like to think that I do in terms of the bills that I support and the ones I don't.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, hailing from Ferndale, Senator, I mean, that's, of course, we all know that's Jake Locker territory, right? I mean, that's, I was up at the locker room recently. I'm sure as a kid, you probably were, I would imagine you probably looked up to Jake, I would imagine, huh?
Yes. In fact, some of my best memories as a kid growing up in Ferndale was my brother and I would get up at about 5 a.m., maybe 5:30 a.m., I'll be honest. But our goal was to be at the locker room at 6 o'clock sharp to work out each morning. And so I'm a big fan of Mr. Locker, and I love his gym.
That's awesome. I love that. Were you a football guy, basketball guy, or what?
I don't know that I want to admit this. Maybe this is going to make a lot of people mad at me, but I was pretty sad. I was pretty sad to hear about Tom Brady's retirement, if that gives you any indication.
Oh, man.
Kind of my
really?
I mean, obviously, I'm a big Seahawks fan, too, but I just think that there's something pretty special about Tom Brady. But hopefully I'm not going to hopefully nobody's about to burn down everything I own after saying that.
So when we played the Patriots in the Super Bowl, I mean, were you torn?
Well, I was. I mean, it was – I would have been happy with either one. You know, I was kind of happy about the outcome of either potential one. Probably I was still, I would still say I was leaning towards the Seahawks. And I love Russell Wilson. I mean, it's just, again, I think Tom Brady is just a very, very impressive guy.
Yeah, no. Well, I mean, obviously he's got what, 7 Super Bowl wins? Is that what he's got? 7?
Is it 7 now?
I don't know. Maybe it's, I don't, I thought someone said maybe 7 Super Bowl appearances. Maybe that's what it is. But I mean, whatever it is, I mean, obviously he's got to be, maybe him and Joe Montana maybe are the greatest quarterbacks of all time. I mean, it's got to be something like that, is it not?
Yeah. I mean, it depends on who gets the greatest of all time title, and you know, depends on who you ask. But yeah, it is 7, I believe. You know, and 2021 being his last year, but you know, I'm curious to see, for example, where Gronk is going to go with it now that Brady's retired, and there's still some things I'm curious about. But yeah,
all right, quick lightning round, Senator. Favorite restaurant in Whatcom County?
Ooh, that's a good one. I'd probably give a shout out to Chihuahua's Mexican Restaurant.
Okay, now, where's that at?
It's in Ferndale.
It's in
downtown Ferndale.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Favorite date night location in Whatcom County?
Ooh, probably something on the wharf. You know, depends on what you're going for. I also like a place called Coconut Kenny's in Bellingham. That's kind of fun. It's like Hawaiian-y food. That's a good location.
Yeah.
It depends on your budget, I'd say.
Okay. Yeah. Favorite apple at Bellwood Acres?
Ooh, you know, I don't know my apples very well.
Just cosmic crisp. How about the honey crisp?
This, a red one or a green one?
All right, favorite movie?
I'd say Gladiator. I love Gladiator.
Yeah, that's a good one. Favorite band?
I really like John Denver.
John, really?
Yes.
Wow.
I grew up on the beat. I have, you know, I'm 22 years old, but I actually have a fairly, I'd say, older taste in music. I like the Beatles. I like Elvis. But I lived in Colorado for a time, and I think I really fell in love with John Denver there.
Yeah. Well, of course, anytime I hear that, I think of that line from Dumb and Dumber, right? We won't say it on air. All right. Favorite? You ready for a favorite TV show?
Favorite TV show is probably Breaking Bad.
Oh.
I love Breaking Bad, but my favorite reality TV show, this is kind of my guilty pleasure, I'm a big fan of Survivor, the show.
Okay.
I just think the politics of the show are fascinating.
I love it. That's great. Senator, thanks so much for joining us, and congratulations on your appointment. And, man, good luck to you. And really, I really hope you go in and shake some branches out there in Olympia. Get us back to normal here.
Well, Tim, that's the goal. You know, show no mercy, take no prisoners, and do everything I can to represent the people well.
Yeah, well, in the words of the Gladiator there, what do you say? Honor and strength. There it is.
There you go. Exactly.
All right. Hey, thanks for joining us on the program.
Thanks for having me.
Take care now. That's Senator Simon Sefcik, the youngest senator at 22 in the state of Washington, representing the 42nd Legislative District, the good people of Whatcom County.